The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we'll look at why I believe, and then we'll look at the essence of my message. Overview. This broadcast reports why I believe and starts with Father speaking to me audibly. I then report giving a prophetic message that was well received and receiving a personal anointing through the Almighty laying his hand on me. I then report an incident where my car was carried by messengers or angels, and then Father speaking through me, followed by receiving dictation in 2014. I conclude by asserting that I speak to him and hear him constantly. We then look at the essence of my message and start by asserting we exist to be friends with the Creator, that he is one, and his name is Yah, and that infilling with his spirit is vitally important for believers. It is asserted that the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran are all only books and contain error. It is then noted that creation took place in an evolutionary manner, and that a global hydraulic and tectonic event destroyed the surface of the earth 4,500 years ago. It is then reported that Satan rebelled, leading to the contest, and that the rules of engagement limit the Creator and that humans are supposed to reign on earth. It is then stressed that Yahushua, incorrectly Jesus, is the most powerful human being in the universe. It is noted that men and women were created to be in sexual life covenant, and that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are the core monotheistic religions, sort of serving the Creator. It is asserted that turnaround prophets have defined history and that hell is real and punishment for believers. It is stressed that a global revival is required. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. Well, actually, that's 29 years tomorrow. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. Excuse me. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcast on the drop-down for previous broadcasts or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So, I want to start with an article that I wrote in May 2021 entitled Why I Believe. It occurs to me that while I write and speak with great confidence regarding the existence of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, it might be helpful to share a few of the experiences that give me this confidence. This may or may not help you directly, but I hope it will challenge you to grow to a point where you can have similar experiences. So what I've done is I've picked out a handful of incidents that really stand out for me in terms of my journey. Preface. Confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13. I grew up in an Anglican and Presbyterian family and went to church. At the age of 13, I was confirmed and had a very limited conversion experience that moved me to the standing of believer. I subsequently gave limited service, including as an altar boy from the age of 19 for about 4 or 5 years. At which point I walked away from the church because I was offended by the attitude of the priest and the hypocrisy of the church. I progressively backslid to a point where by 1991 I was effectively atheist and got into an adulterous relationship with my secretary. Experience 1, 12th of March 1993, Father spoke to me audibly. The relationship with my mistress came out in the open in early 93, and I then discovered I was deeply in love with my mistress but could not be with her. I ended up in a hotel room figuring out how to kill myself when at about 7 a.m. on the morning of 12th of March 1993, in a locked hotel room, the Almighty spoke to me audibly, out loud, and I knew instantly who it was. He told me to phone a friend, Ian Peters, and Ian shared his living relationship with the Almighty. Led me back to the Almighty. At that point, I clearly got the message that I'd been on the fast track to hell, repented, turned around, and started strenuously seeking to build my relationship with Father Yah. Since he had spoken to me audibly, it never occurred to me that he would not speak to me again, so I went forward expecting to hear from him. That experience of the Almighty speaking to me, coupled to my realization of heading for hell, has kept me more or less on track ever since. I threw myself into serving him who had spoken to me, started going to church several times a week, listening to teaching tapes, worshipping at every opportunity, reading the Bible and everything else I could get my hands on, and I grew rapidly in my relationship. Second incident, 25th of December 1993, message for Anglican priest and his wife. On a two-hour drive to celebrate Christmas with my sister, the Almighty gave me a message for the Anglican priest who would be officiating in the church. It was the first time I'd actually gone to a stranger and spoken in the name of the Almighty, so I pushed back hard. I did not want to do it. Throughout the service, the Almighty kept reminding me to speak to the priest. At the end of the meeting, as people were leaving, I went up to the wife of the priest and very tentatively gave her the message. She was exultant and shouted out at the top of her voice, "Trevor, this brother has the word we've been waiting for." We became friends and they invited me to minister in their main church on a number of occasions. This experience encouraged me considerably, and I have given many other people messages from the Almighty since then, not all of which have been so gratefully received. In fact, it's my experience that most of the time when one gives somebody a message from Father, they will go out and do exactly the opposite of what Father asked them to do. It's a strange phenomenon. I think it happens with a lot of human beings that they just don't get it. I give the message, I'm so sure it's from Father, and yet they interpret it differently and they do something differently. I think the thing here is that when you start hearing Father's voice and one's never quite sure if it really is him or not, particularly in the early stages. So when you get a word like this, a message, and you give it to a third party, and they receive it and they corroborate it at some level, it's extremely encouraging. Right, point number three, early morning of 2nd of January 1994, Father puts his hand on me. A few days later, I was reading the book Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. I could not put it down and was deeply impacted by his story of his encounter with Father Yar. At about 3 a.m. I went to bed and lying on my stomach I prayed, "Father, I desire to know you the way that Benny Hinn does." After some time my bedroom was filled with a mighty roaring sound and I experienced intense pressure pressing me into the bed, which I subsequently understood to be Father's hand. I woke the next morning with a strong anointing, that's the infilling of the Spirit of Yah. My new secretary arrived for work in tears. Her brother had committed suicide. I held her hands and prayed for her, and what felt like an electric current passed between us. She looked at me wide-eyed and immediately experienced supernatural peace. Numerous other incidents followed, including healings, etc. My church did not recognize me because I had not been to Bible school, and they had not taught me, so my ministry was largely low-key. It's one of the tragedies of a lot of organized religion. They get into a space of believing that only people that have been to their Bible school, taught by them, according to their rules and what have you, can possibly be serving Father, with the result that people like myself in this situation, who came out of a different background, different experiences, were basically rejected from playing any real role in ministry or service or anything else because sort of fear of, I'm not quite sure what, that the satanic and demonic realm would infiltrate the organizations, which has happened in any event. Right, point number four, car carried by messengers or angels. Some months later, I was in a motor vehicle accident where I was late to catch an aeroplane and was speeding on a winding mountain road when I came round a corner and hit a pool of mud and lost control of the car, which slid sideways off an embankment about 10 feet high. As the car left the road, I cried out to Father, and his messengers caught the car and laid it gently at the foot of the slope. It should have rolled down the hill, but instead my pen and diary, which was open on the passenger seat, remained in place and were not displaced at all. I was not injured and not even shaken. Point number five, Malawi, 1994. Assembly falls under the power of the Spirit of Yah. A few months later, I was in Malawi ministering in an assembly through a translator. The power of the Spirit of Yah flowed through me, and eventually almost the entire assembly of about 50 people were lying on the floor, sobbing as they were convicted of sin and other things. I only touched a few of them. It was a very powerful experience. So basically, over a period of a year and a half, I had so many of these supernatural experiences. I'm just lifting out a few that really stand out for me. It's very difficult to describe if you've not had such an experience. But to stand in front of a group of about 50 people, preach through an interpreter, pray for the Spirit of Yah to fall on the congregation, and just to see people collapsing on the floor, one after another, sobbing, crying out for forgiveness, and just being healed and delivered and set free from whatever was oppressing them. And I was just standing in the front there, really, after I'd done the initial teaching and praying, I did very little. It just Father just moved through the people for about 3 hours. It was a remarkable experience. And then moving on the next day, Malawi 1904, Yah speaks through me. The next day I went to a meeting with the general secretary of one of the major assemblies in Malawi, together with the two pastors who had been at the meeting the previous night. After a few minutes of conversation, Father told me to move the coffee table out of the way because he was going to slay this man in the spirit. I got up to walk towards him and he stood up to meet me, and while I was still about 3 feet from him, he was knocked sideways by the power of the spirit that was on me. Father immediately started to speak through me. I had no thoughts or control over what came of my mouth. I was just the vessel that Father was using to speak to this man. I spoke for about 20 minutes and then moved to the next man. The same thing happened, and then again with the third man. I then sat down, and Father then spoke to me through my own mouth for about half an hour. In all of this, Father spoke through me in the first person. I subsequently understood that this was the level of anointing that Yahushua, incorrectly Jesus, walked in throughout his ministry. And that is why Yahushua is reported as speaking as though he was the Almighty. Folks, again, a dramatic experience of the power of the Spirit on me, such that literally as I walked towards each of these men in turn, they just were knocked to the floor. And then Father spoke through me, literally in the first person. I had absolutely no, the only thing I could have done was to choose to shut my mouth and not let my mouth operate. I was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit was speaking through me. The Spirit had taken control of my vocal cords and was speaking to these people. I don't think any of us will ever forget that night. And I wasn't even particularly in a positive space. I'd missed my plane, my flight back to Johannesburg. I was a bit grumpy. I was tired. I'd hardly had any sleep the night before. And yet Father worked through me. 7. The Day of Atonement, 2014, from August to December, receiving dictation. I subsequently lost the above anointing through a brutal divorce after I discovered that my wife had betrayed me and the church took her side. Fast forward after many other experiences to around the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, in 2014. For a period from August to December 2014, I was walking so close to Father that I was hearing him precisely most of the time, and he was giving me regular revelation in the form of short statements, which I recorded immediately in a pocket notebook, which are on the website at you've got the website URL, endtimeissueministries.org. Look at the page, Important Insights. This was a dramatic experience of really hearing Father very clearly on a sustained basis. This is the only time in my life that I've had this level of clearly hearing Father. Literally, I would be walking down the road or sitting on the bus, and he would give me short message after short message, and I would write it down word perfect, go home and type it up, and then eventually collated them all and put them onto the website. I think if you read those Important Insights, it's about two-thirds of the way down the main menu, you will recognize that there's something distinct and different about the language that I use in contrast to my language on the rest of the website. There's definitely something about those insights that indicates that it's Father speaking through me and not just me reciting whatever comes to mind. So worth looking for and worth reading. So in conclusion, I speak to him and I hear him constantly. Beyond all the above, there have been many other experiences, not as dramatic for the most part, but significant, such that I know with absolute certainty that Father Yah exists. I speak to him constantly and hear him constantly, as in throughout the day, every day. He's totally real to me, and my desire is to serve him faithfully to the end of my life and qualify for a high throne with him for eternity. I also know with absolute certainty that he desires for you to have comparable experiences and a comparable relationship, to get even closer to him than I have ever been. See the article Demographics of the Kingdom for information on the different ranks in heaven. That's Demographics of the Kingdom on the main menu. See also the article Why Are We Here? And much else on the website. Please feel free to email me if you need support with this, james@endtimeissueministries.org. So I realize that none of this necessarily helps you very much if you've not had comparable experiences. What I would say to you is it's available to you if you really seek Father to have comparable experiences. I have it that it's acceptable for you to say, Father, I desire to know you as James Robertson knows you, or as Yeshua knew you, or Moshe, Moses knew you, or Noah knew you, or any anointed one. And it's also available to you to say, Father, I choose to believe that you exist, and I ask you to help me to know for sure that you exist. Show me that you're here. Show me that you exist. Don't do it in a confrontational, challenging way. Just do it in a humble way and say, Father, this is a big thing to believe that you exist when I can't see you, touch you, feel you, hear you. And you can also work to get to a place where you do hear him. He created you to talk to you. The only reason you can't hear him is because you can't hear him. He wants to talk to you. So the next article, also from 2021 May, The Essence of My Message. On consideration, it seemed important to summarize the essence of my message and cross-reference some of the most important articles. This article sets out to do this. Number one, we exist entirely to be friends of the Creator. The reason the universe, this planet, and human beings exist for us is for us to be friends of the Almighty Creator and have a deep personal relationship with Him. All else is fluff and stuff. He desires to talk to you constantly throughout the day, every day. See Why Are We Here and Creator Desires Friends on the website for more information. Point number two, the Creator is one. The Creator is one. There is no Trinity. Yahushua Jesus is not God. It is gross sin to worship Yeshua or any other human being, including Moshe or Moses, Muhammad, your priest, rabbi, pastor, imam, etc. Folks, it is really sad when people go and beat up other people because they don't share their views on things. And I think particularly of some incidents around the Islamic community killing people because they have a different view of Muhammad or the Quran. Folks, Muhammad's just a man. The Quran is just a book. Like the Bible is just a book. And Yeshua is just a man. And Moshe, Moses, is just a man. And the Torah is just a book. If somebody wants to be rude or whatever about them, let Father sort it out. It's not your problem. And going out and killing people and beheading people and beating people up and burning people, folks, it's just not on. Please don't do it. Point number three, the name of the Creator is Yah, Y-A-H. The true name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, as in Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yahweh, or Yahweh. It is gross sin to call him God, the Lord, G_D, Hashem, etc. Allah means the Almighty and is acceptable, albeit that it is a suboptimal way of referring to Yah. See Yah 7,000 times in the Bible, why not used? Creator's name, Yah, eternally self-existing, and blasphemous names on the website for more information. Infilling with the Spirit of Yah is point four. Infilling with the Spirit of Yah is vital for a believer. In order to achieve a significant relationship with the Almighty Creator, it is vital to be filled with His Spirit. See how to become an anointed one on the main menu for more information and prayers to pray. Folks, not using the Almighty's true name is just really foolish. He has said to me, if you love me, you will call me by my true name. Pretending his name is not Yah, using other names, the Lord God, etc. And then the absurdity of using God, G_D, because you don't even want to say God. It's really silly, folks. His name is Yah. In point number five, the Torah, the Bible, the Quran are only books and they contain error. The Torah, the Bible, the Quran, etc. are just books about humankind's interactions with the Almighty Creator. They're all written by humans and they all contain error. It is gross sin to worship any one of them and to call it the Word of God or similar. See the essence of message regarding Bible and the Bible for more information. In point number six, creation took place in an evolutionary manner. Creation took place in an iterative experimental manner, that is, an evolutionary manner, over millions of years, culminating in the creation of the solar system, this planet and its atmosphere, plants, animals, and ultimately humans. See evolutionary creation as reality and our world today history on the website for more information. Folks, going back to the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, they're just books. They're useful books. They're anointed at some level. They're inspired at some level. However, Father created you to have a deep personal relationship with Him, not to have a deep personal relationship with a book. So read the books. Learn what you can from them, and then focus on getting a relationship with Father. I can't stress that enough. It grieves Him the way people worship books, all three of these books and others. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's not interested in you having a relationship with the Bible or the Torah or the Quran. Point number seven. Global hydraulic and tectonic event destroyed the surface of the Earth 4,500 years ago. There was a massive global hydraulic and tectonic event known as the flood, caused by an ice comet impact about 4,500 years ago, that immersed and totally mashed up the surface of the Earth. A man named Noah, or Nuh, and his family of three sons and their respective wives survived because Noah had a close relationship with the Father, the Almighty, and knew what was coming. Any artifact that is found on Earth cannot be older than 4,500 years, barring a few remnants that have survived. See Global Catastrophe Redefines Evolution on the website, and also Flood on the website for more information. See also the book Dead Men's Secrets by Jonathan Gray, available free at http://beforeus.com, that's beforeus.com/dmsa.pdf, to download for insights into archaeological finds that do date before the flood. See also www.beforeus.com. shopcart_ebooks.html for free copies of other books by Jonathan that are relevant to this. Some of them are very, very important, accurate books. Some of them deal with things that I don't necessarily agree with. Again, as always, my advice to you is pray about it. It's up to you to decide what you read, what you don't read, what you believe, what you don't believe. It's not about doing it because I said so. It's about doing it because you've heard of it. It sounds like something that's worth reading, and you read it. Then point number 8, Satan rebelled, leading to the contest. The messenger or angel, known as Satan, sinned and became proud and rebelled before man was created. As he was about to be destroyed, he challenged Yah to a contest to prove he could deceive humankind to reject the Creator. The Creator accepted the challenge, something he now deeply regrets. This is why humankind is such a mess and why there's so much war, etc. See The Contest and Real Contest for more information on the website. 9. The rules of engagement limit Yah. Humans are supposed to reign on earth. The rules of engagement in the contest massively limit the Creator in terms of his ability to interact with human beings. Specifically, the Creator is not permitted to disclose any new information to a believer unless that believer first asks an appropriate question. All authority on earth has been given to humans, and they have to fight Satan. They're not doing this, and the satanic and demonic realm are winning the contest hands down at present. See The Contest / Rules of Engagement on the website for more information. Folks, these 2 points are so important. Until you realize that the satanic and demonic realm are ruling on earth, and that Father Yah is severely constrained by the rules of engagement in terms of what he can do, you're going to misinterpret what's happening around you. It's just the way it is. Read the articles on the website. There's a lot of information about this. The article on the history of the earth is particularly relevant here. In point number 10, Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, is the most powerful human being in the universe. The man Yeshua was miraculously created without a human father. He lived and died approximately 2,000 years ago with no sin, and as a consequence is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. We have to make his enemies his footstool. He's the most powerful created being in the universe with massive supernatural powers. See Essence of Message, Yeshua, Jesus, for more information. People who've seen him have mistaken him for the Almighty because of his supernatural powers. See important videos to watch for a number of video interviews with people who've died and met Yeshua and other interesting information. Folks, this is again such an important point. Yeshua lived without sin. He died without sin. Because of that, he graduated to be the most senior human being in the universe, in heaven, with massive supernatural powers, a massively spectacularly glorious body. So people who see him think that he's Yah, think that he's God, think that he's the Almighty. He's not. He's closer to the Almighty than anyone else. But it's vital to understand that he is and was a human being. He was anointed with the Spirit of Yah. The Spirit of Yah came on him in the form of a dove when he was immersed in the River Jordan by Yehohanan the Immerser. And it was the Spirit of Yah on him that caused him to prophesy, that performed miracles, walking on water, etc. So important to understand this. 11. Men and women were created to be in sexual life covenant. Men and women were created to live together and serve Father in a powerful sexual life covenant, and to be a powerful force for good on the earth. We're intended to have a passionate and fulfilling sexual relationship. Yah desires that all men should be in a sexual life covenant with one or more women. Given that there are 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers, and since most women cannot share their man in this age, this means that most believing women need to remain celibate or enter into sexual life covenant with one or more other believing women. See Men, Women on the website, also Heaven on Earth in Marriage and Single Woman Believers 7 Times Men for more information. 12, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are the core monotheistic religions, sort of serving Yah. All religions have some measure of truth about the Almighty Creator, and all religions are corrupt and contain considerable error. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam trace the main journey of human beings serving the Creator and contain the most truth, but that truth is massively corrupt. The only true religion is a personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, which does not have any religious label applied to it. See Judaism, Christianity, Islam for more information. There is much more about the errors of Christianity on the website and a bit about the errors of the other religions. Folks, I can't stress enough, people have all sorts of strange ideas about sex. Yah created sex. He created us to enjoy sex. He created us to have all the physiological and physical and emotional responses that allow us to have liberating, joyful, fulfilling sexual congress. We're created by Father. It's really silly to speak ill of sex. What's wrong with sex is when you go and you mess around with all sorts of different people and you don't stick to the people you're in covenant with in a closed family unit. In point number 13, turnaround prophets have defined history. The history of humankind has been defined by the actions of a small number of turnaround prophets. Noah or Noah, Abraham, Moshe or Moses, Yahushua or Jesus, Muhammad, and Martin Luther to a lesser extent. Each of these men turned around a situation where virtually no person had a meaningful relationship with the Almighty Creator. See Turnaround Prophets for more information. 14. Hell is real and for the punishment of believers. Hell is real and is the place of correction for believers who die with unrepented sin. Yeshua died to make a way for believers to repent of their sin. Those who do not repent in this life will be tortured in hell to punish them for their failure to repent. Only then will they be admitted to heaven. See the page Hell for images and articles regarding hell. Folks, the turnaround prophets is such an important principle. Six men have defined the course of history in a very real manner, and it's important to understand it. And that's where books like the Bible and the Quran are relevant. And then as far as hell is concerned, hell is not for unbelievers. Unbelievers are not going to hell. Unbelievers are just going to stay on earth because there's nowhere for them to go. It's the believers who don't repent of their sin who are going to hell. 15. Believers go to heaven when they die and qualify for various ranks. Believers go to heaven when they die and after they've been cleansed of their sin in hell. They qualify for the following ranks depending on their performance in this life. Ranks and estimated numbers on earth on the 25th of December 2015 are unbelieving believers, the outer darkness in heaven, about 20 million. Foolish virgins, believers not filled with the Spirit of Yah, about 2 million. Adulterous wives, also worship Jesus and or the Bible, about 500,000. And that would include the Quran and the Torah. Wise stewards, at some basic level, serving Father faithfully, about 200,000. Good and faithful servants, having some impact, about 5,000. Overcomers, really having an impact. They will sit on thrones in the throne room when they die. 20 on the 15th of December 2015. Friends, close to Father, know his will, praying his will, actively serving him, talking to him constantly, guided by him constantly, will sit on one of the highest thrones when they die. 1 on the 15th of December 2021. All human beings should aspire to this rank. It is available to you. You may ask me about all the believers on earth. There are about 100 million believing unbelievers, people who worship Jesus, the Bible, Muhammad, the Quran, etc., but have zero relationship with the Creator. The rest of the population of earth is either serving Satan or just ignorant of the matters of the Almighty at a material level. See Demographics of Kingdom for more information, also Mountain of Relationship, and different views of the mountain, all on the website for more information. Folks, this is so important. There's a minute number of human beings who are going to make it into heaven right now. Are you one of them? Big question. 16. The major challenge for believers is to live above sin. The major challenge for believers is to live life above sin. This is entirely possible once you decide to do it. See what is required to live above sin on the website. Then 17. Satan is in the pit until 3003, about 981 years from now. On the 3rd of May 2003, Satan was convicted in the court of heaven of his sins against humanity and against Yah, and was sentenced to 1,000 years in the pit. He's there now. See Satan to Pit 2003 for more information. 18. Unbelievers become demons when they die. When unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits, also known as demons, and either remain where their corpse rots or burned, or are transferred onto other human beings to haunt them. Powerful sinners obtain higher ranks. The earth is ruled by 7 demonic masterminds while Satan is in the pit. See Where Are You Going and Demonic Masterminds Direct for more information. Folks, Yeshua died to give us a quick and easy and convenient way of repenting of sin just by taking what you may know as communion, the bread and wine of the covenant. It's very simple. Satan is out of the way. The 7 demonic masterminds are ruling on earth at the moment. They're based in Woolwich in London, East London, UK. Powerful satanic stronghold there. If you're a believer, stop worrying about the unbelievers. If you've got family members who are unbelievers, you need to worry about them because they've got a really ugly fate. Being a demon or an ancestor spirit, not nice. Then 19, the three sons of Noah define the races on earth today. The three sons of Noah define the races on earth today. All peoples have descended from one of these men, Shem, the Europeans, Middle Eastern, etc., and Judaism, Christianity, Islam, all stem from Shem. Japheth, the Far East, idolaters, it's China, Japan, etc., Korea, and then Ham, most of Africa, ancestor worshippers. It's not as simple as I've made it out to be there. There's all sorts of complexities. There's a whole lot of fornication, etc., that's taken place so that the bloodlines are all mixed up. And there's an article on bloodlines on the website. Then 20, a global revival is required. As things stand today, the satanic and demonic realm are close to winning the contest. What is required now is a major revival that sweeps the planet and endures for the millennium in order that Yah can win the contest and so that Yeshua can return in victory to rule on earth. See, will you initiate a revival with me for more information? I appeal to you to start cleaning up your life and seeking a deep personal relationship with your Almighty Creator so that you can make this happen. There is much more information on the website. See endtimeissueministries.org. Read Critical Actions on First Belief if you come to believe through listening to this broadcast. Also read 7 Components of Drawing Close for detailed information on how to draw close to the Almighty. Folks, the only way things are going to get better on earth is for people to get close to Father. So with that in mind, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I want to make the distinction. Father is the friend of every believer. it's one of his attributes is that he's a friend to you if you believe in him. It's a totally different thing for you to be his friend. In order to be his friend, you need to understand him at some material level. You need to see things the way he sees things and not the way human beings see things. You need to be willing to pray things that might otherwise make you feel uncomfortable. You have to be willing to do things at his instruction that other human beings are not going to understand, that they may be going to ridicule you. They're going to look askew. It's a big thing to become one whom he calls friend. It takes time to get there. It's worth getting there. That's what you were created for. Irrespective of your race, your color, your creed, your tribe, your wealth or lack of wealth, your education or lack of education, your gender, your religion, he wants you to be his friend, and I urge you to go for it. So wrapping up, key documents and a video on the main menu of the website, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? The Essence of My Message to Christians. Available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. And recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's one word, relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop down, or search on Google for quote Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, the Google search is a subset of Google functionality purely dedicated to the website. Very useful way of finding information. There's about 2,500 articles and well over 1,000 web pages on the website, so a lot of material to search through. The menu is structured and is not structured. There is a logic if you read from the top of the menu down, about two-thirds of the way down, the essence articles. Start reading at the top and just work your way down. Right, to close, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Please email me to join the mailing list. Again, james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I want to say again, Father Yah wants you to become his friend. I really hope you're getting that message. It doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your race, your tribe, your nation, your religion, your denomination, your wealth or lack of wealth, your education or lack of education. It doesn't matter whether your hair is black or white, long or short. It doesn't matter whether your eyes are blue or brown. None of these things matter. He wants you to become his friend. Don't let some human being put themselves between you and Father. He wants to be your friend. He doesn't want you to be the friend of the imam or the friend of the pastor or the friend of the rabbi. He wants you to be his friend. I urge you to go for it. Thanks so much. Good night.